I want to turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. And we'll start in verse 1. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Let's approach once again to the Lord in word of prayer. Our great and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for all that you do for us. We thank you for this time that you provided for us here at the conference at home, Missionary Baptist Church. We do love the church here. We love the people. We just pray that you would bless them and encourage them. Father, in the efforts they've put forth, help them to know that these things are a blessing, Father, to your churches, to your people, and pray that you would encourage them in it. Father, we just pray this afternoon that you'd strengthen us in the flesh. The flesh becomes weak. Father, as we move through a conference, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us, Father, invigorate us, help us to be just ready to hear from you. And Father, we pray that you would just move amongst us, that you give us all the things we need. Father, there are many individuals here, many needs. Father, we pray that you would minister to every heart, Father, that not one soul would be passed over, but Father, you would deal. Father, you would deal with every soul that's here present. Father, we pray that you would help me. Father, you know who I am. You know the weakness of this vessel. And Father, I pray that in spite of that, you would just be pleased to glorify yourself through the preaching of your word. And Father, that you would bless us as you do so. And we ask these things and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the thought I have from these verses this afternoon is that of being led to the glory of God. Being led to the glory of God. God leads his people to a greater understanding of his glory. God is always leading his people to this end. I mean, everything that God is doing is leading us to a greater understanding of his glory. A greater understanding of who he is. I mean, why did God do anything? You know, people ask the question, why God this? Why God that? Why did God do anything? It was for his glory. To reveal who he is to us. That we might understand him and know him, that we might come into a place where we worship him and recognize God for who he is. And we are benefited as we come to know more of God. The more that we understand about God, the more that we appreciate God, we adore God, we worship God. We recognize the worth and the value of God. And you see his glory is being manifest in everything that he is doing. And so, as he's working in the world around us, as he's working in our lives, he's teaching us about himself. He's revealing his glory. And as his people, he has a particular interest in us to teach us about himself, to teach us about his character, about himself in every way. So he's leading us in these things. You go through things in your life, you say, why am I going through this? Well, he's teaching you something about himself. He's teaching you something about his glory, about his goodness, about his faithfulness. He's teaching you to trust him more. He's strengthening you. He's building you up, you see. And he's doing that by causing you to look to him. You have to look to him. The only way that you'll make it through this or that or the other is you look to him. You start looking at the world, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. But if you look to him, he's going to strengthen you. He's going to build you up. He's going to supply your every need. He's going to pour out grace on your life. You see, and he's leading us to these places of glory. He's leading us to this greater and greater understanding of who he is. You see, he's doing that in all of our lives. You know, he's doing that in every one of his children's lives. He's leading us. He's leading us to a greater understanding of who he is and of his glory. So we see this. We see this Red Sea crossing. You know, of course, very familiar, if you will, passage of Scripture. But you say, couldn't he just let them around? Sure, you know. Couldn't he go on another way? He led them there on purpose. He led them there on purpose because he had a purpose of his glory to be revealed. He was going to demonstrate his power. He was going to demonstrate in an amazing and miraculous way a powerful deliverance that would not only deliver Israel but would also, you know, judge Egypt, judge Pharaoh. His power and name would be declared, you know, and forever and ever and ever. I mean that has been declared, you know, the glory of God in that event, you know, of the Red Sea crossing. You see, and he does things like that in our lives. He does things like that in our lives. He's interested in our lives as individuals. He will bring us to places that I don't know why God brought me here. I don't want to be here. This is uncomfortable. This is difficult. This is a hard situation and I don't want to be here. Why, God, would you bring me here? Well, he has a purpose of his glory to be revealed in your life. He's going to teach you something about himself. So God leads us. He leads us to these places of where we understand his glory better, where we understand his person better. But God had a purpose of his glory, both in the judgment of Pharaoh and Egypt, and in the salvation of Israel. And so it is today. God has a purpose of his glory in the judgment of this world, and in the salvation of his people. And more specifically, he has a purpose of his glory in your life. And by his providence, and by his word, he is leading you to that purpose. Let's go back just for a minute to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse 17. We'll start there and read down through 24. And we'll come back. We'll be coming back to Exodus there. But Romans 9, verse 17. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. I mean, that's what God was doing in Egypt. God was revealing his power, and that his name might be declared throughout all the earth. That's what his purpose was for in raising up Pharaoh. And you look around and you see things going on in the world. And you say, what is God doing? Listen, it's this. You know, it's a purpose of his glory. It's a purpose of his glory. And so he's doing these things. But keep reading down here in verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why did he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. But listen, this is, you are a chosen vessel of God's glory. And everything that he is doing in your life, he is going to manifest his glory in what he is doing in your life. He is going to demonstrate his workmanship. He's going to demonstrate that amazing grace that we've been considering and hearing about. He's going to demonstrate his power in your life. And you've been made a chosen vessel into that. But you know what? God's glory is not going to be manifested in the ordinary course of life when everything's going all just, you know, fine and dandy. You're just going along and nothing standing out in your life is any different than anything else going on in the world. But then you come to these places, you know, like the Red Sea. You come to these places, these impossible situations. And in those impossible situations, God manifests his glory. God manifests his glory in your life. And you say, why am I here? I don't understand, Lord. Why am I here? You're there for a purpose of God's glory. He's brought you to that place on purpose to demonstrate his glory in your life. He's going to show you how he's going to deliver you. He's going to show the world his power and his grace in your life. That's going to be demonstrated by the situation he brings you to. You say, I don't want to go there, Lord.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, if we had our way, we'd know nothing about the glory of God. Because we'd always take the easy way. We'd always take the smooth way. We'd always take the way that I can figure out. But you see, for God's glory to be made known, He's going to take you to places like the Red Sea. Where you say, Pharaoh's bearing down behind me and I can't go back. And the Red Sea's in front of me and I can't go forward. We're just going to sit here and die because there's nothing else to do. And He brings you to the place where you think, there's no hope. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. Well, where are you going to go? You're going to look to the Lord, aren't you? You're going to look to the Lord. And He's going to bring you to those places. You say, I don't want to be here. Well, you know what? You need to be there. You need to be there so that God can teach you more about Himself. Because there is no greater blessing for any one of us that are His than to know more about God. Isn't that what it tells us? That we're to glory in knowing Him? We're not to glory in our strength. We're not to glory in wisdom. But we're to glory in the fact that we understand and know Him. It tells us that in Jeremiah. So you can't glory in God except that He teach you about Himself. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing in your life. He's teaching you more about Himself. And in so doing, you are blessed. And you are benefited. And you are strengthened. And you are encouraged. And you are more and more fitted for that purpose of glory in His life. Ultimately, what's that purpose? Is that you be conformed to the image of His Son, right? Ultimately, He's going to glorify Himself as He through Christ and all that what He has done for you in Christ glorifies Himself as in the demonstration of how He has saved you and conformed you ultimately to the image of Christ. And ultimately, you know, that's where we're headed. You know, we read those passages in Romans 8:28. We read that down through there. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And then He goes on and we say, okay, but you can't stop there. You got to keep reading, don't you? Reading about what He's doing. He has a purpose. He has an eternal purpose for us in Christ. And He is working that out. And He is conforming us to the image of Christ. And everything that's happening in our lives is bringing us to that place. Okay? Bringing us to Christ. Bringing us to that place of glorified in Christ. So God is, He's leading us to these places. He has a purpose of glory in our lives. And so, I guess I'll get to the points here that I got written down. But God leads us to the sea. God leads us to the sea. You didn't get there on accident, you know. He led you there. But there, we read there, and we'll turn back in Exodus 14 in verses 1 through 4 there again. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, in verse 1, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. But He told them to go there. He specifically said, go to this place. Go there. They got there by following God's word. A lot of times we think, Lord, I've been trying to follow You. And somehow, I don't know how I got here. How did we end up here? That's where you're supposed to be. He led you there on purpose. He led you there on purpose. So God leads us to the sea. If we know anything about God, we know there are no accidents. We know that nothing happens outside of the plan and purpose of God. I've been humming that song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, right? Rejoice in the Lord. I appreciate that special. God never moves without purpose or plan. He never does. When He's molding us and He's shaping us and He's working in our lives. He brings us to these tests and these trials. What's He doing? He's not, and we've heard it already, He's not doing that to destroy you. He's doing that to work on you and purify you and take out all the, you know, all the worldliness and draw us and all the dependence upon this world and the affections of this world. And He burns that stuff off. And he makes you say, what does all that matter? What matters is God. What matters is that I need Him. And He brings us to this place, you know, where we desire Him most of all. We desire Him most of all. You know, we heard about the Lord coming back soon. And the idea of being ready. You know, if you don't want the Lord more than anything in your life, you're not ready. If you don't want Him to come back more than anything in your life, if He isn't the chief desire of your heart, then you're not ready. Right. You're not ready. You know? If we examine our hearts, we say, well, I want to do this and I want to do that, you know, before the Lord comes. I want to do this. I have these plans or those plans. We're not ready. When we want Him more than anything, we're ready. When we're saying, like in Revelation,
Even so, come, Lord Jesus. When he brings you to that place, then you're ready. Then you're ready. You see? But that's a lot of times is what he's burning off of us. He's working out of us. You know, because we've set our affection on the world. We've set our affection on the world. And so we need him to do some work on us. To get that stuff out of our hearts. So that our affections are set above. We're looking for Christ to come. We're looking for Christ who is our life. But again, we see that our text is very clear. God led Israel to the sea on purpose. God specifically told Moses to tell the people to encamp by the sea. This is very interesting because we see that by following God's word, Israel was led to a very troubling situation. You know, and again, a lot of times we find ourselves in a troubling situation. I've been trying to follow the Lord. I've been trying to stay in your word, Lord, but I'm in a place where I don't want to be. This is a hard place. I don't know what to do. But God leads us to those places. So they were brought to that place of no hope, no help, no escape, to a place where only God could save them. You know, that's a good place to be. When you're brought to a place where there is nowhere to look but God, that's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. We don't like to get there, though, do we? If we could choose our way, we would choose any other way except that way. I don't want to get to the place where I feel like that. But that's where we need to be. We need to get to the place where I need God. He's my only hope. There is nothing else that can save me. There's no one else that can save me. There is no one else that can help me. That my only hope, my only help is God. And we're looking to him. You see, that's where we need to go. And the Lord knows we need to get there. And so he's faithful. He's faithful to bring us to that place where we're looking to him. And we're looking to him alone. Sometimes it may seem strange to some, but very often following God's word will bring us to just that sort of a place in this world where there is no hope, there is no help, there is no escape, but in God alone. And these are the places we really come to know the glory of God. That's where you're going to know the glory of God. Because you say, you come to the Red Sea and you say, there's no hope. This is the end. And God says, no, I'll just open the Red Sea. You'll walk across it right there. He brings you to a little situation. You say, wow, there he did it again. He did it again. And you see the glory of God again and again and again. But he brings us to those places on purpose to teach us about his glory. But obviously we understand the flesh prefers comfort to glory, doesn't it? The flesh prefers comfort to glory. There in that, back there in Exodus 14, verses 10 through 12, there says, and Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. But the flesh prefers comfort to glory. It's no secret that we much prefer our own comfort to God's glory. If it were left up to us, we wouldn't know anything about the glory of God because we would just stay in Egypt and die. And so as we follow God's word, when things begin to get uncomfortable, we start to look for an easier way. You know, they got to this place where they thought, well, hey, we're following God. God's delivered us. Oh, boy, it's all good now from now on. And they're just getting started. And they come to the Red Sea. And have you brought us out of Egypt just so we could die? Were there no graves in Egypt? They started thinking about going back. Well, they were regretting leaving Egypt. You know, that's pretty bad. We start regretting following God. That's a bad place to be. It was easier back then. But we get to this place where we're afraid to follow God's word. We doubt God's word. And again, we can even regret at times following God's word. Wish we could go back to when things were easier. But thankfully, God doesn't let us go back. That's the wonderful thing about our God and the grace of God. He doesn't let us go back. No, you're not going back. If you're one of his, he's not going to let you go back. He doesn't let us go back. God leads us on to see and to know by experience more of His glory. But I'm going to bring just share a little, something relevant to that thing where the flesh prefers comfort to glory. So I actually do own some suit coats. I didn't wear one the first day on purpose, the second day on purpose, because I like to be comfortable too. But I was planning on wearing my suit coat today. Well, so last night we're sleeping, and about, I don't know, it was after midnight, all of a sudden something wakes me up. My wife's, you know, she's just all like, you know, she's after my son, and what are you doing, dude? So my son, you know, he gets sick in the night, and he's like vomiting sick. You know, we're laying on the bed, you know, and isn't anything contagious. He just, you know, he ate too much or something. So I'm sleeping. I get woke up to that. It's all over the bed. And, you know, sometimes when you wake up, you're not really woke up. Well, he ain't woke up. And so it's on the bed. And then he gets up, and instead of going to the bathroom, he goes to the closet. And it's all over in the closet. And it's all over my suit coat. And it's all over everything. And then he goes down the hall. And then, well, all the towels and things. And he gets those on the way by. And I'm thinking, and I, you know, as a preacher, you get used to that sort of thing. You know you got to preach the next day. So the devil's probably going to wake you up in the middle of the night with a sick child or something. You know, okay, I'm used to that. That's almost reassuring after a while as a preacher. You know? Okay, so that's obviously not comfortable. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to do that. My poor wife, of course, you know, the wife generally, they have to deal with that kind of thing, because a lot of times men just can't deal with that stuff. It's just, oh man, this is just, oh, I can't handle it. And so normally if something little happened, my wife would go down the hall. She'd go, I mean, this is like in the middle of the night. It's getting close to 1 o'clock. And, you know, so, you know, normally my wife would just go down. She'd ask for some towels. You know, she'd take care of that. No big deal. But this was a bad situation. I thought, if I don't go do this, I'm a dead man. I got to go do this. So I go down, and it's, you know, it's the middle of the night. And I come to the desk, and it's just what you want to do. You want to walk up to the desk. Hey, you know, my son just, you know, he just threw up all over the room. I need some towels and things to clean it up, and I needed some stuff. And, you know, I went down there, and so there was a, you know, there's the lady sitting at the front desk, and then there's the, you know, the fella, and he's just sitting there, you know, and he helps me, and, you know, he gives me some towels, and he's getting me some stuff, and he's getting me all these things. Well, while I'm down there, you know, he asked me about my wife, how long I've been married, and all these things, and then he starts talking about his wife, and he starts talking about, you know, his problems in his life. He starts talking about problems he's having with his kids. He starts talking about problems that he's having with, you know, grandkids. And he's having to raise his grandkids because his daughter doesn't want him. And he's having all these struggles in his life. And, you know, and I go back to the room and I get, you know, we're taking care of stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, I got to go talk to that guy. So I'm down there. I'm down there at 2 in the morning talking about Jesus with this guy, you know. Amen. And you know, and then the other girl, she's sitting there. She's like the front desk lady. And he's like, you know, oh, yeah. He says, I know, you know, I know. He knew a lot about the Bible. Man, that a lot of mixed up ideas, but I was surprised how much he knew. You know, and here's, she's sitting there, and she's listening to all this. And he says, ah, but she don't believe any of that stuff, you know. I said, well, it's good for you, too, you know. You know, and here I am down there in the middle of the night, you know, talking about the Lord. And that's what I'm talking about. We do not want to, you know, you don't want to clean up that mess. You know, you don't want to deal with that stuff in the middle of the night. But I would have never met that man. I would have never talked to him. Except that God did that, you know, in my life to get me moving down to that place. Amen. That's exactly what I'm talking about. God does those kind of things in our life to get us moving to where we need to be, to be talking to the people we need to be, sharing His glory, telling people about who He is. And so we don't like those uncomfortable situations. But you know what? A lot of times there isn't anything else that's going to move us to do that. And so He puts us in those places because He has a purpose of His glory. And I tell you what, I bet nobody wants to trade with me you know, for what was going on in my room last night. But I wouldn't trade it with any of you. Because I know that the Lord was in that. I ain't no doubt in my mind, you know. You know, and there are times in your life when the Lord's going to do things like that, you know. And he's going to bring you to a place where you don't want to be. Boy, I can go. My son Wyatt, you know, when we were in the hospital with him, you know, we didn't think he was going to make it. And I guarantee we did not want to be there. But you can't believe all the doctors and the nurses and the other patients we got to witness to while we were in that hospital. We didn't want to be there. We did not want to be there. But I tell you what, God manifested his glory. You know, he does that in our lives. He's that interested in our lives, and he's going to do that. And so, yeah, we don't want the uncomfortable situation, but I tell you what, I wouldn't trade the glory of God that we get to experience, that we get to testify on in those times, in those situations. All right, so God leads us to the Red Sea. He leads us to those situations. But not only does he lead us there, he leads us through, doesn't he? He's gonna take us through that. So God leads us through the sea. Go back to the verses 13 through 16 there in Exodus 14. Then Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up the rod, thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." So God leads us through the sea. Contrary to the doubts of the devil and of our sinful flesh, God never brings us to a Red Sea crossing to destroy us, but rather to deliver us. And so the God who leads us to the sea will also lead us through the sea. We notice here that God gives us pastors to tell us the truth. I'm thankful for all you men of God that are here today. I'm thankful for your stand, you know, in the truth and in the Word of God. You're an encouragement to me. Just when I came, you know, the first night I was here, I'll be honest, you know, I've been going through a time of some discouragement. But when I came the first night and I just looked around and seen all your brethren standing for the truth, that encouraged me. That encourages me. I appreciate you men. I appreciate you standing for the Word of God and standing for the truth. You're a blessing to me simply because you stand for the truth. And that's an encouragement to me. We need to encourage one another. You know, we need to encourage one another. We're not us standing alone, but we're standing together in the Word of God. And we need to continue to do that. But God gives us pastors to tell us the truth. You know, we come to a conference like this because we need to be reminded, don't we? We need to be reminded. We need to be encouraged. We need to be. You talk the truth of God's word, you know, because there's just so many false things going on, you know, communications, if you will, in the world. We can get to kind of leaning that way and worrying about those things. Listen, we need to hear the truth of God's word. That's what's going to encourage us. That's what's going to strengthen us. That's what's going to help us. And that's what we need. But verses 13 again there in Exodus 14. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not." We need pastors, you know, that'll tell us that, don't we? "Fear ye not." You know, we get all up in an uproar about whatever's going on in our lives or in the world around us. But we need pastors to open the Word of God and say, "Fear ye not. Fear ye not. Stand still. Stop running all around and scurrying all over trying to, you know, worry yourself to death. Stand still. And look to God. And see the salvation of the Lord. See what he's going to do. Look to God. That's why you're in the situation. So you'll look to God. Stop scurrying around trying to find every other answer. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Look to the Lord." We need pastors that tell us that, don't we? We need to be reminded of that. But God gives us pastors to tell us the truth. Verse 14 there. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." You know, again, this is the truth of God, who he is. But we need pastors that tell us this. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Stand still and see what the Lord's going to do. Stand still and see how the Lord's going to deliver you. Stand still and watch how God works in your life. Stand still and see how God glorifies Himself in this situation. This is what we need to do. We need pastors that tell us this. We as pastors need to pray that the Lord will give us grace and strength and courage and encouragement to continue to encourage the people. You know? We need to pray that the Lord help us. We need to pray for one another. That the Lord would help us to stand and to continue to encourage His people. But people need faithful pastors that will comfort them and direct them in the truth of God's Word. Those of us who are pastors, again, we need to pray that God would give us the grace and strength to be the kind of pastors His people and churches need. You know, we're in the flesh. We are not what God's people need. We need the grace of God to work on us and make us the pastors that God's people need. It's a work of grace. Paul says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Right? There aren't any one of us that are anything of ourselves that is any benefit to anyone, particularly to God's people. But it's God's grace. Moses parted the Red Sea, right? God told him to do it. God gave him the strength to do it. God called him to do it. That's why he could do it. And as pastors, you've been called to a church. You've been called to a particular work. And God will give you the strength to do what He's called you to do. He'll give you what you need for the work He's called you to do. And we need to do that work. We need to be faithful in the work that God's given us. Do that work. Thankful we heard the messages about Aaron and her holding up Moses as our pastors need. They need those faithful church members to hold up their arms. You know, those of you that are church members, don't ever forget that your pastor's a man. He has weaknesses. He has sin. He has things he's dealing with. He needs your encouragement. He needs you to come alongside and say, you know what, I need to hold up his hands. Well, because what happens if he lets his hands down? That's bad for the church, isn't it? That's bad for God's people, isn't it? He needs to hold his hands up. You know, he needs to continue in that work. And so he needs that encouragement. Encourage your pastors. Let's move on here. Verses 15 and 16. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." I like that. Don't stand there. And, you know, there is a standstill aspect. But when you know that the Lord wants you to go forward. Don't go backward. You know, that's a lot. That's what they want to do. Let's go back to Egypt. No. Go forward. Well, how am I going to go forward? The Red Sea's in the way. We need to trust God. We need to go forward. Go forward in His Word. Go forward in His Word. Do what He says. You know, it's not that hard to figure out. Sometimes it's hard to do. We just get in the flesh and we think, well, we're like these. We're all worried and we don't know what to do, where to go. Just do what He said. Move forward. Move forward in His Word. Just keep on moving forward in His Word. That's what we need to do. But Pharaoh's bearing down behind. There's no going back. The Red Sea is before us. How are we going to go forward? But we must not trust our eyes, nor our minds, and certainly not our hearts. You know? Don't get trust in after your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't want to trust that. But we can trust God. And we can trust His Word. And if He says go forward, then go forward. That's what we need to do. We must trust God and take Him at His word and move forward by faith in Him. We'll turn to Proverbs just for a minute. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." You see? And that's that, when you come to that Red Sea crossing, I can't look to myself. I can't look to my own understanding. I can't figure this out.
We're forced into a place where I have to look to God. You see? But it'd be good, you know, if we didn't have to get quite there, you know, and we could just trust in the Lord, you know. Before I get to this place where, you know, where I'm absolutely hemmed in, you know, we ought to be walking with the Lord and trusting Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world that, you know, that we can't do anything about. You know, we can complain about, we can jump up and down about, you know. But we can't do anything about. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. He's going to direct your path. Look to Him. Trust in Him. If we trust God, we will surely be blessed. But if we forsake God and we trust in something else, we guarantee troubles to ourselves. We guarantee troubles to ourselves and we turn away from our trust in God and His Word. Jeremiah 17, turn there for a minute. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. It says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out a root by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know, but that's the difference between, you know, trusting in something other than God and trusting God. You know, if we're trusting in something in this world, it's going to be like a desert. It's going to be a miserable place, a place of cursing. But if we're trusting in the Lord, we're going to be blessed. Blessed is the man. Blessed is that man. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. You know, our confidence needs to be in Him. It needs to be in Him and in His Word. Listen, He's faithful. He doesn't change. There isn't anything. There's no situation or circumstance in the world that makes, you know, that. You know, that makes it okay not to trust God or in His Word. There's a lot of situations and things, you know, that can happen, you know, in your life or in the world that make trusting God and in His Word difficult. There is no situation that comes up in our lives where we can say, well, because of this situation, I don't have to follow God and His Word. You know, people do that. They say, well, my situation, you know, is special or different, you know, and because of my situation, you know, God knows my heart, you know. How many times have you heard that? God knows my heart. Well, you know, He knows His Word, too. He does know your heart. That's not a good thing. Trust Him. Does He know, is that in your heart? To trust Him, you know. To follow Him no matter what. No matter what, you stick to His Word. That's what we need to do. Need to hurry along here. God's grace is sufficient. Verses 19 through 22 back there in Exodus. Exodus 14 there and verse 19. It says, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. There's a lot of the grace of God demonstrated in this, you know, in what was going on here. But God's grace is sufficient to take us through that situation that He's brought us to. God's grace is sufficient to save. His grace is sufficient to keep. God's grace is a cloud and pillar that protects us and illuminates our way. God's grace makes his preachers able. Again, we see Moses, you know, lifting up this rod, and you know, but that's God's grace that does that. God's grace makes a way in an impossible sea. I mean, how else but God could you go through this impossible situation in your life? Only by the grace of God. But his grace makes a way through those impossible seas. His grace is a wall that keeps us from straying left or right. It was a wall. They had to go that way, didn't they? Isn't that like the sovereignty of God, the grace of God? Listen, he's got a purpose in your life. He has a destination where you're headed. And there's a wall of grace. You know, there's a wall of God's power and grace leading and directing. And you're not going to turn to the right or the left. Yes, you know, we know we take detours sometimes, don't we? But God gets us back where we need to go, right? Ultimately, we end up where God wants us, don't we? So there's a wall on the right hand and the left of God's people. There's a wall, and it's God's grace. And he's going to get you to the end. He's going to take you to where he wants you to be. And God's grace is so thorough and abundant that our feet don't even get wet. It says they went on dry ground, didn't it? If you went outside today, you know, and you walked around in the grass over here toward the golf course, whichever way that is, that way, if you were walking out, I guarantee your feet would be wet. It's ground, but it's wet ground. It's soggy. You'd be splashing. They weren't splashing when they were going across the Red Sea. It says dry ground. Dry ground. They didn't even get wet feet. That's the grace of God. That's abundant grace. It's not just barely get you by grace. It's abundant grace. And they went on dry ground. So when he brings you to that Red Sea crossing, he's going to give you that grace you need to go through it. And he's going to take you through that by grace. And he's going to literally wall you in. And he's going to take you through that on dry ground. You're going to come off the other side, blessed and better, rid of all those things that, you know, that you thought, you know, that you know, you could never be rid of. But through that situation, he's going to take you through. He's going to take care of all that. The Egyptians, you know, after the water came down, they saw him dead upon the sea. So lastly, very quickly here, God leads us to where we can see. So God leads us to the sea. God leads us through the sea, and God leads us to where we can see. You know, that is, that we can see. Okay? As God leads us to the sea and through the sea, he will bring us to a place where we can better see his glory. They didn't understand it when they came to the sea on that side, but by the time they got to the other side, they were singing, weren't they? By the time they got to the other side, they saw the glory of God. They understood the glory of God like they did not understand it before. The whole world would understand the glory of God like it did not understand before. After all these things that God had did, all that what God had wrought, the whole world would understand much better who God was. That this is who God is. This is the God of Israel. This is the great God Jehovah. This is this is the great I Am. And so this is the Lord. You know, and obviously we heard that the demonstration, of God, mocking all the gods of Egypt, through all of the things he did there. But when we get through all of that, we get to the end. We heard about the Passover. We heard about him coming out. Now he brings him to the sea, and he brings him through the sea, and you know, God's name was glorified. The world would know who God is, and that was the purpose. That's the purpose, if you remember. But let's read here quickly in verses 20 down through 31 there. It says, and it came to pass, or I'm sorry, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the, let's just for sake of time, let's move on up to verse 26 there. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon the chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh, and it came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. I mean, they did not understand the things, before they crossed the sea. But on the other side of the sea, they did understand, didn't they? They knew things about God that they could have never known any other way. They had to come to that Red Sea crossing. They had to go through that experience. They had to experience the grace of God and see the power of God demonstrated to understand the glory of God. That's exactly what he's doing in our lives. You come to that place, you say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know why. Why, Lord? This is why. He has a purpose of his glory in your life. In your life, he has a purpose. You say, well, in my life, yeah. All the little things that happen in my life, yes, he does. God has a purpose of his glory in your life. What does it say there? We hear about Psalm 23. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Right? It's a demonstration of his glory. And he is demonstrating that in our lives. And he's that interested in our lives. And so we need to see that. The world will see his glory in our lives. You know, we see that the Egyptians would know there. We'll go back to verse 4. It says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so, you know. There's coming a day, you know, there's a lot of scoffers. We heard about that too throughout the conference. There are scoffers in the world. Where is the promise of his coming? But there's coming a day when they'll know. There's coming a day when they're going to hide from his face. He's going to demonstrate in such a way his glory in judgment. That's going to come to this world. And he judged Egypt, and that was demonstrated, and they knew. But there's also that demonstration of that salvation. As we watch God work in our lives, as we experience his power and grace saving and keeping us time after time, we will come to know God more. We will see more of his glory. We will be blessed as we trust him more and worship him more. You know, we're going to be taught more about God. The more we're taught about God, the more we're going to be blessed. The more we're going to be strengthened, the more we're going to trust him more, you know, as we come to that next situation or trial in our lives. But we'll just bring these things to a conclusion. God has a purpose of his glory that he is leading us to in our lives. May God help us to remember this and to trust him as he leads us to and through our next Red Sea crossing. Brother Roland. Amen.